Open your Bibles with me this morning, if you will, the book of Titus. Titus chapter 1. Little tiny book way in the back. Titus chapter 1. Father's Day. I'm going to try to avoid it. Y'all have heard me say before that one of the characteristics of Mother's Day and Father's Day preaching is that on Mother's Day, the preachers get up and talk about how wonderful mothers are and how much they've added to life and how horrible life would be without them. And then on Father's Day, we get up and say, daddies, y'all are a bunch of losers, you got to do better. And don't tell me that I'm a daddy, and to preach like that's not too smart. And so I'm trying to avoid that trap and offer us some encouragement while still dangling the carrot out there and saying, you know, fathers, we can, like mothers, we can all be a little bit better, and we could learn and do things differently and be better fathers, better men, better husbands, better leaders, that we all can do that. And so this morning, as we look in the book of Titus and consider a little bit of what Paul wrote to Timothy as well, I want us to look at a passage of Scripture that typically we look at and say is reserved to describe the qualifications of a pastor. Generally, these are passages in Titus and Timothy that we use and say these list for us and describe for us the qualifications, what we're looking for in a pastor. But I believe if we're honest and we look at them, I think we can take those and stretch those a little bit and say, you know what, I believe they apply a little bit more. These are certainly, obviously, the qualifications of a pastor. But I believe that if you look at them and you're honest, all they say is really is that the pastor should be an example of these characteristics, but all Christian men, Christian fathers should have these same characteristics as well. Just the pastor should be a leader, an example of those characteristics and of these qualifications. And so as we look at this passage this morning, I think there are at least three things that that the Bible describes are the role of a pastor that flow over and become the role of a father as well. I find it very interesting that when we read this list of pastoral qualifications, we don't find in that list he needs to be able to conduct a business meeting. We don't find that he needs to know how to build a budget. He needs to know how to raise money. He needs to know how to lead a building program. He needs to know how to conduct a committee. You know, those kind of things. In fact, if you look at Titus and Timothy, both of them, the majority of the qualifications that are laid out there have really very little to do with what typically we think of as a pastor. They have very little to do with actual church work. They are way more concerned. They have much more to do with how the man conducts himself in his own home. What kind of father, what kind of husband, how he conducts his life with his family. Many years ago, a man, one of the older church fathers back in the 15th century, Lewis Bailey, made this statement. He said, fathers are called to be pastors in their homes. What the preacher is in the pulpit, the same the Christian householder is in his house. I think that is a very profound statement that unfortunately goes way undone in our culture today and has for many years. We have men, again, I'm trying not to beat us up. I'm just stating the fact in many cases we have surrendered our position of spiritual leadership in the home to the female. We have surrendered our position of spiritual, our spiritual position that the Bible lays out. We have turn that over to the wife. Many husbands, many fathers feel like our job is complete if we have went to work, if we have put food on the table and shoes on their feet. We feel like we have provided, we have done all that our job is, that mama will take care of the rest of the situation. But there are probably some of you in here who have grown up in a time in our nation when perhaps things were a lot more difficult, and there were a lot of times when perhaps there wasn't food on the table, and perhaps there might have been shoes on your feet, but there were holes in the shoes. And you know that there is a major difference in a father who provides material goods and one who maybe can't provide the material goods, but yet provides the love and the companionship that a father is supposed to be. I'm not going to bore you with all the list of statistics, but they are mind-boggling. They are staggering to do the research and look and see just what the influence of a father in the home is. It is mind-numbing to look and see the exponential increase in the likelihood that a child will end up in prison when there is not a father involved in that child's life. It is unbelievable to see the increased likelihood of teenage pregnancy when a father is not involved in that daughter's life. Pretty much every negative thing you can think of is compounded by the absence of a father. And the thing that I find interesting about that is it doesn't even account for a godly father. It just says if some kind of father, the research just says if some kind of father is involved in that child's life, then his chance. I'm not saying it's always perfect. I'm not saying it always works out. But research, statistic after statistic, research repeatedly has shown the importance of the role of a father in a child's life. And again, that doesn't account for a godly father. That just says father. And I think most of you gathered here this morning would say that if a father is important, if a father makes that much difference, then a godly father has to be just a huge advantage for a child to have the influence of a godly child, a godly father in that child's life. And so as we look this morning, as we look at these qualifications, and there are probably many we could come up with, but I just want to take for a moment out of this passage, and again, looking at what the role that that God lays out for pastors, and I believe we can take that and slide that over and say, as fathers, we have that same responsibility. I heard Ed Young one time talking about his church. He's pastor there at Second Baptist in Houston, thousands of members. He was talking about how his church was set up around Sunday schools. And many of these Sunday school classes would have something like around 100 people in each Sunday school class. And they were asking, well, how do you pastor that? How do you take care of that? And he said, I really don't. He says, I can't. He said, but each Sunday school class, he said, the teacher of that class basically functions as the pastor of that class. He said, you know, when there's sickness, when there's death, when there's needs, and thankfully, I would tell you that in many ways, most of our Sunday school classes here don't have 100 in them, but they function that way. Our teachers pastor their classes. They take care of the people and the members of their classes. But he said, they take care of their classes. They function in that role. They pray. They visit. They do all those things that a pastor in, say, a 100-member church would do. And he said, then I try to pastor the teachers. And he said, that's kind of how it trickles down. And as I thought about that this week, that's really, in many ways, the way I think the ideal situation between church and home should be set up. That in the home, men, and I'm not taking a anti-female role here. Please don't misunderstand me. Y'all know real quick, I know, nothing wrong with being hen-picked when you got a good hen, okay? Matter of fact, it's a good thing. But what I'm saying is, men, I think the Bible lays out and calls for us to be the pastor in our homes. And then we come to church, and that is encouraged, that is developed by the pastor and the work, the things that go on in the church. And so this morning, as we look at these descriptions, there's three in particular that I think really we can draw out and say apply to the father in the home. I believe, first of all, Paul describes in here that I believe the father in the home is supposed to be the spokesperson. I think the second thing that we see in this passage is that he's supposed to be the shepherd. And then the third thing is that he would be the supplier. And so I just want to take those three very quickly and look at those, because I know y'all are really anxious to get out and buy your father lunch. And so, y'all know the story about that, right? There are more phone calls made on Father's Day than there are on Mother's Day. Unfortunately, the majority of them on Father's Day are
collect. Yeah, and so, yeah, but I know you're just dying to get out and buy lunch. And so, you know, if you don't have anybody to buy lunch for, give me the 20. How's that? You know, that'll work. But the three things I want you to see here that Paul describes as roles of the pastor that I believe fathers need to consider as roles that they have in the home. First one that we see is this role of a spokesman. I think that is a role that, of all of them perhaps today, that many fathers, many men, we have abdicated that job to the female. We have abdicated that role to the woman. Again, we have kind of set back and taken the mindset, I work, I supply, I buy clothes, I buy food, I put a roof over your head. That's all you need to do. Mama, get them to church. Let's be honest. I know, and I'm thankful for it, but I look around, I can see. If you don't believe me, show up next week during Bible school and see for the most part who works in Bible school, who brings the kids to Bible school. Thank God for godly mothers. That's not my point at all this morning. What I'm saying is men, as fathers, it is our job in the home to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. There is nothing wrong with the mother reading Bible stories and telling the children about Jesus. In fact, encourage it, you ought to. But I'm saying men, we should be the leaders. Most of you, and this is not a slight, this is not trying to knock you down, most of you would not, could not, we wouldn't ask you to teach a Sunday school class. It's just not in your skill set. It's not in your gift set. It's just not something you can or will do. You know, if I was to say to you, hey, would you mind filling in? Would you mind speaking on Wednesday night? Some of you would seize completely up. You'd be stiffer than the tin man after rain. You just couldn't do it. Yeah, and I know that. I wouldn't ask you. I just know better. It's just not going to happen. You're not going to get up in front of a class and teach a lesson, and you're just not going to do it. I understand that. I'm good with that. On the other hand, you may not. I may say, "Would you teach a class?" And you'd be like, you had to call the EMS for you. On the other hand, I can look at you and say, "Hey, we need a ditch dug." You say, "I'll be right there." Yeah, we need a wall painted. I'll be there. That's in your skin. I understand that, and I'm fine with that. But I am saying this: in your home, you should be the primary Bible teacher in your home. You should be the primary representative for Jesus Christ in your home. You should be the spokesperson for Jesus Christ in your home. Unfortunately, in our homes, both mothers and fathers have by and large taken the mindset, I'll take them to church, that's what the Sunday school teacher's job is, that's what the Bible school teacher's job is, that's what the youth director's job is. I want to tell you something, we have some of the finest teachers, some of the most dedicated teachers, some that love the kids and love the Lord as much as any I have ever seen in my life. But I will promise you this, if you bring your children to everything we offer in a week's time for your children or your youth, the 4 or 5 hours worth that they get from church will be washed away very quickly by all the garbage they get off the television and school and from their friends and the internet and everything else they are bombarded with. We can't put enough in them in a few hours at church. They don't listen to us good enough. They don't pay us any attention. They don't listen to us. So you must be the primary Bible teacher in your child's life. You must be the ambassador for the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you want your child to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's your job to tell them that. I do my best. I do everything I can. I have led many of your children. I baptized many of your children. But I want to tell you something. It's not that may be my primary job in general, but your child is your responsibility. And their spiritual well-being is the most important responsibility you've got. They'd be better off with an empty stomach and a heart full of Jesus. Listen, we need to understand. I'm not saying go feed them. Yeah, I know sometimes it's tempting. But I'm telling you the most important thing. If we took as seriously our responsibility of sharing the gospel with them as we do feeding them and clothing them and putting a roof over their head, we'd have a different society. Listen, we ought to be the spokesperson, men. We ought to be the ones who lift up Jesus Christ. And ladies, I know this is Father's Day. Some of you think, oh, I'll take day easy. No, you need to pray for that man. Because I want to tell you something, that's not easy. It's not something most of us were taught to do. It's not something that comes natural for most of us. It's obvious. Again, all you have to do is look around and see who's doing the job. Yeah, most of us men, it's just not natural for most of us. Listen, we're the knock them in the head, drag it home and feed them kind of people. You know, that's our nature. You know, go out, find it, club it, skin it, cook it. That's our, not even cook it. Club it, skin it, and fetch it home. You know, that's our nature. That's who we are. But I will tell you something, man. We're not called to be natural. We're called to be supernatural. We're called to teach our children about Jesus Christ. If you don't, who are you going to trust it to? Who are you going to trust it to? I thank God we're blessed in our community. I don't know about everywhere. We're blessed in Cabarrus County. Cabarrus County Schools, Canapolis City Schools. We're blessed to have some good godly school teachers. We are. We've got them. I know a lot of them. I've been to the rally around the pole thing that they have at school, and I've been out there, and a lot of times there was almost as many teachers gathered around praying as there were students. I've seen enough teenagers and kids today to know that you've got to be really close to God to teach school. You know, you better be. You know, you're going to be close to God or close to the devil. One of the extremes, I think. You know, you're going to be on one end or the other. I saw something yesterday. My seventh grade math teacher, I think yesterday was the anniversary of her retirement, and she said something. She said, I'm thankful this year would be the last group of students graduating that she taught. And she was reflecting on that group, and she said, I'm thankful for that group of kids and how we had group prayer before our EOGs. And that was in a public school. And I thought, you know, I said, that a girl. You know, and she says, oops, wasn't supposed to do that, were we? Yeah, she's retired. She doesn't care. What are you going to do, fire? Yeah. Listen, we're grateful to have some good teachers and good Sunday school teachers. Grateful for the job that mothers do. But men, let's not forsake our duty of being the spokesperson for Jesus Christ in our homes. That's our job. He tells us that. Look what he says. He says to us, he says of a pastor, he says, let him be blameless. The husband of wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. He goes on, and if you read that passage in Titus, and look what he says there. He goes down and he gives us a list, and he says, they're to be blameless, the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. Look at verse 9. This is important for you, folks. He says, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. You know what that says? That says a pastor ought to be busy guarding his life, guarding his character, guarding his reputation, his relationship with Jesus Christ, so that he can be a witness to the lost person. That's what it says. But I want to ask you a question. Would my life be an absolute, in my opinion it would, my life would be an absolute abject failure if every one of you came to know Christ and my four children died lost? This life would be lost. God, I don't think God, and it's been a problem over the years, some of you have been around it long enough to know, there were a lot of pastors. And I've not always been perfect at it, but I've tried. I've seen a lot of pastors in my life, especially some of the older ones. We talked about this. Archie and Ed and myself were talking about this a little bit earlier this morning. There have been a lot of pastors over the years who have worked themselves to death, worked themselves silly, worried about everything, ran after everybody, and lost their own children. God, give me strength that never happens. I love you and I care about you. And I want to see you all in heaven. But heaven would be an empty spot without my four. Listen, we need to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ in our homes more than anywhere else. We're to be spokespeople. Spokesmen for Jesus Christ. Not just spokesmen, we're to be shepherds. We're to be shepherds. Now, I know we talk about shepherds, and a lot of us have this image of what a shepherd is. He tells us to be a lover of hospitality, a lover of good. He's talking about all these things that we're supposed to do. And unfortunately, in our culture, because most of us are not, have not, never even been around one, been around a shepherd, we have in our mind this image of the gentle shepherd. You know what I'm talking about? That image of Jesus standing there petting the little lamb. That image of little rosy-cheeked David holding and loving the little lamb. Can I tell you something? That's about as far removed from the truth as any image we could possibly have. Because most of us don't live there. Because most of us have never been there. Can I remind you about a shepherd? A shepherd, for the most part, lived 24/7, 365 days in the field. That was his job. That was his life. 24/7, 365, out in the field, tending flock. That was his duty. Shepherds weren't rosy-cheeked, pushover little wimps. The last person in town you wanted to pick a fight with was the man who was living out in the field taking care of sheep all day long, every day. To start with, he probably wasn't in a real good mood. Second of all, he probably smelled. Third of all, he wasn't a pushover. He was a man's man. He sat out there in that field day in and day out. He had skin tough as horsehide. He was carrying around crippled and hurt animals. He wasn't weak. He was a strong man. This man wasn't a little pushover we think of. This man was a warrior. I guarantee you, the last man in town you wanted to battle was the shepherd that had been out in the field for a year or two, listening nothing but sheep bleat and guarding them against wolves. This man was the last line of defense. He wasn't, I'm sure there were many times when the shepherd laid down in the field and he took those little baby lambs and he rubbed them and he played with them and he laughed and they played around and they ran around and goofed off with a little baby lamb. I'm sure there were days they had good times. But there were days when the wolves attacked the flock and that shepherd bowed up and he was the last line of defense. He was life or death for those little sheep. I want to tell you something, man. We need to understand that image of a shepherd today. We need to listen. I'm going to submit to you one of my opinions of what has went terribly wrong in parenting in America. I don't have a single verse of scripture to back it up. I can't prove it. I'm just telling you it's my opinion. I'm telling you that right up front. And if you think I'm wrong, prove it. That's all I can tell you. You preach next week. I will tell you in my opinion. One of the biggest problems in parenting today is we've decided we want to be our children's friends instead of their mamas and daddies. Now, I don't want mine to kill me in my sleep. I want them to like me. I don't mind being friendly with them. But I'm not their friend. Get that through y'all's hard heads. I don't want to be your friend. I'm your daddy. I'm your daddy. Now, again, I want you to like me enough that you don't put a pillow over my face in my sleep. You know, we don't want to go there. But I'm not to be your friend. Go find you some friends. I don't want to be your friend. I want to be friendly, but I'm your daddy. I want you to look at me and respect me, and I want to act like your daddy. We are to be shepherds, men. We are to be the warriors in our home. We are, you know, one of the problems we've got in our society is, you know, we hear all about women's rights and women's lib. You know why that's come about? Because men, we've turned into a bunch of pushovers. Step up and be the man at your house. I'm not telling you you're the boss. Matter of fact, most of you figured out you're not even close. I'm not telling you you're a slave driver. That's not what I'm talking about. In fact, the Bible makes it very clear. The Bible says you love your wife as much as Christ loved the church. And that means you're willing to die for her. And I've said it, and I've said it, and said it, and said it, and said it. I've never seen a woman who minded being under submission to a man she believed would die for her. You know why most women don't respect us? Because we're not the shepherd we're supposed to be. Those shepherds stood in the field and they were the last line of defense. I want to tell you something, men. You better step up because there is a raging wolf out there seeking whom he may devour. A lion wanting to destroy your children. I want to tell you something. I don't know. Some of you ought to be at this altar when I get done for one thing. Thanking God you don't have any small children in your home. Grandchildren. So you don't have to see half the garbage they watch on TV today. It amazes me that we've edited Bugs Bunny and Roadrunner. Now, I don't know about you. Probably me and Jason Brain may be the only two who can really, you know, be Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck aficionados. But I can tell you when they've edited the Bugs Bunny cartoon. And you know what? They've edited a bunch of those cartoons. You know, there's some of them they won't even show anymore. You know, you don't very seldom do you see the coyote go off the cliff anymore. They cut that out. You know, I can tell you right now, there's not many days in my life and still a whole lot of them as adults that I don't watch Bugs Bunny and Roadrunner. And I've never, but a time or two, ever been tempted to drop an anvil on anybody's head. But I want to tell you what you ought to do for yourself, if you have children or you have grandchildren, you find out what channel the cartoons or the children's programming is on your television. And you turn it on and you actually sit down. Don't just plop Junior in front of the television. You sit down and you watch just a few minutes of the trash they're beaming into your house. And I will tell you, I have discovered, in just a few moments of that routine that there are very few children's shows and very few children's cartoons today. They may not have rape, murder, violence, dropping anvils on people's heads. But I will tell you this, you will not watch long. I take it to the bank. If you don't believe me, try me. Take it to the bank. You will not watch more than a few minutes of most children's programs that somebody won't get a spell cast on them, that somebody won't pull out their magic wand, that some spirit won't appear and do some voodoo, that somebody won't conjure up and turn into a monster. You will not watch a children's program today very long before you are confronted with some kind of evil, witchcraft, magic garbage. Now, some of you, that may not concern. I'm telling you, you better get your sword and your staff and be a shepherd in your home. I know your child would never do it. I know your child is an angel. You know, I know that. I know that you know they touch mud and turn it into diamonds. I know your baby, but I'm telling you, you better know where they're at on the internet. You better know what they're reading. You better know what kind of little knucklehead they're hanging out with. Listen, I know some of you say, mine will tell, and I'm not telling you I'm the perfect father. Don't misunderstand me. I had one of mine, y'all know this before. I've told them, I'll tell you, I don't care. Had one tell me one time something about their room. Right. Your room still happens to be all up in the middle of my house. I will take the door off the hinges. When you move out, I might still come over to your house and go through it. You still mine. Listen, I'm their daddy. Man, we need to step up and be shepherds, be warriors for our children. Quit just letting anybody just influence them. Pay attention to what's going on in their school books, in their classrooms. Pay attention to what they're seeing on television. Find out who they're hanging with. I'm dumbfounded at some of these outfits. And I'm not telling my kids, y'all see that yellow jacket Caleb wore? I'm not always saying they pick out the best clothes. But listen, most of them clothes you're paying for. Don't tell me you don't have a say-so. I'm sorry. We are to be the shepherds. Listen, you know what a shepherd did? A shepherd took the sheep and said, all right, now you're going to drink. Now you're going to eat. This is where we're going to live. The shepherd was the warrior. And I am not condoning you being some kind of goofball Hitler father. I'm trying to tell you to be some slave-driving maniac. I'm telling you, you can be a good daddy and do it in love and protect your children. Because nobody else will. I'll guarantee there's more people wanting to destroy your children than there are wanting to help your children. Guarantee it. We're to be the spokesperson. We're to be the shepherd. We're to be the supplier. We're to be the provider. What he says in that verse. I thankfully, I don't think this is too big a problem in here among our men, but they give you measles shots before you get the measles. So I'm just going to throw this one out ahead of time. We are also not only supposed to be the spokesperson for Jesus Christ, we are supposed to be the shepherd, the warrior, protecting our wives, protecting our children. We are supposed to be the proverbial man of the house. We are supposed, and again, I'm not saying be the, y'all know my wife better than that. I ain't crazy. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you're supposed to be, but I guarantee you this, if there's a bump in the night, Lana's not going to jump up and say, I got it. She can go see what that is. Ladies want their husband to be the warrior. I'm telling you, I don't care how they try to act. They want you to be. That's what they want. I don't care what anybody says. Look what he says. He says, "You rule well your own house. If you don't know how to rule his house, how can you take care of the church? Man is not only to be the spokesperson and the shepherd; he is supposed to be the supplier." I'm really, really sick of deadbeat dads. Again, I don't know that there's any here. If you are, straighten up. You made it, feed it. You made it, clothed it. You may not like its mother, You may not be living with his mother anymore, but till the day you die, that baby is yours. Feed it. Feed it. Clothe it. Love it. Listen, your relationship with your girlfriend, wife, ex, baby mama, whatever, that's your business. Right now, I'll preach on that another week. We're talking about fatherhood today. Be a daddy. You be a daddy. Feed them, clothe them, take care of them. Nobody else will. It's not my job. You hear me? It's not my job. I'm paying enough taxes without raising yours. Y'all love me, don't you? Oxycodone's good stuff, you know. It's not my job. It's not Tommy's job. You made them. Either quit making them or take care of them. Take care of the ones you made and don't make no more. Supply for those babies. It's a real simple project. You know, for the most part, everybody in here is adults. Do I have to explain to you how to stop that from happening? I'm sick of it. Every time I turn around, you hear somebody on television, somebody on there talking about how daddy's abandoned them. Mamas too. It's not just daddies. There's some sorry mamas out there. If you made them, tend to them. They're yours, not ours. If you don't want them, give them to me. I'll take them. You know, if you don't want them, send them to my house. I'll take them. But you ain't keeping them with me paying for them. I'm tired of that. Because you just keep making more of them. And I'm broke. I know that's not popular and I don't care. Thank you. Listen, but I want to tell you something. Here's a big flaw in that argument. A lot of us have decided, again, that if I put food on their table and diapers on their rear ends and a roof over their head, I've done my job. You've lost your mind. You've lost your mind. I've really tried hard over the last few years to do better in this area. Most of you have heard part of me, part of my story over the years. Me and my father, I don't know that there was much of anything we saw eye to eye. I have learned as I've got older, sometimes it wasn't his view, sometimes it was mine. And sometimes it was because I'd been a little knothead, it had him seeing cross-eyed. You know, I've learned that over time. And I will tell you this, my father, and I've really tried to quit, to just leave it alone, but I think it needs to be said, I think it proves or illustrates my point this morning. I've tried to quit being critical and just let it alone. My father was not much, if any, of a daddy. He was a father, and he was an awesome provider. Look at me. I've never been hungry. Some of y'all are old enough to remember what Husky Butches are. That's where we shop for. I had never been hungry. I've never, if I went to school with holes in my clothes or holes in my shoes, it was because I chose to wear clothes with holes in them and shoes with holes in them because I had clean new clothes in my closet. I had shoes without holes. I never slept, like some of you probably have, with the roof leaking on my head. I never went to bed cold because the heat wasn't on or in the dark. Well, I guess I did go to bed in the dark because the lights were out. I never did without. I can't think of a single thing. It doesn't hurt that I was an only child and only grandchild on both sides and only great-grandchild. But I never went without. My daddy, my father, was an excellent provider. Excellent provider. But he died when I was 34 years old. And in those 34 years old, in those 34 years, on one occasion in my entire life that I remember, perhaps there were more, maybe I was too young and don't remember, but in my remembrance of my life, in those 34 years, he told me one time he loved me. And he backed into that, and he was drunk. He stood on the back porch after I'd got him out of jail for drunk driving and said, "Your mother says I don't love you, but I do." That was the closest he ever came. I played baseball all my life. He came to one ball game and complained for 2 weeks about how I played second base, and I'd never played second base before in my life because somebody was out. I got put on second base that night. One game in my entire life. If I'm not mistaken, the entire time I preached, he heard me preach once, maybe twice. He was a great provider. Great provider. I can tell you, as a 49-year-old man who looks back on that time, there's little doubt in my mind that I wouldn't rather go back and go to bed hungry a few times and wear some busted up shoes and have had a daddy that I knew loved me. I can tell you that in the 10 years, Bobby was my daddy. I don't know that he ever provided much for me, to be very honest with you. Christmas, birthday, those kind of things. But I knew beyond any shadow of a doubt that he loved me with every fiber of his being and would die for me. He wasn't my father. We didn't have any genetic link, but he loved me, and I knew it. Men, can I tell you something this morning? Our children would rather be hungry and loved. Our children would rather wear broke-down shoes and out-of-style breeches and know that they're loved. Our children would rather go to sleep cold and know that Daddy cares about them and loves them like Jesus loves them and wants to see them go to heaven than to have heat on. I promise you. I'm not saying let your babies go without heat. Don't go twisting my words. But I'm telling you there's things more important in this world. And men, as shepherds, as spokesmen, as suppliers, it behooves us to find them. Because our children are facing a world that you and I can't imagine. This little fellow sitting here is going to grow up in a world. Tommy's going to try his best to tell that grandbaby something, but Tommy doesn't have a clue what that grandbaby's going to grow up in because it's a different world. Ryan's going to try to tell Aiden how to be a good young man. Ryan doesn't have a clue what Aiden's going to face when he gets to school. It's a different world. And if we're not shepherds, if we're not spokesmen, if we're not suppliers, who will be? Who will be? This morning I want to ask you to bow your heads for one moment. Men, I want to challenge you this morning. Fathers, you say my children are grown. You're still a father. I invite you to come and kneel at this altar and say, Lord, help me to be the daddy. My children are grown, but I still don't want to give up. I still want to be the man that you want me to be. You need to come and say, Lord, help me to be the kind of father that I should be. Give me the strength. Give me the wisdom. Guide me. Direct me. I know my children are getting old. Some of your children are grown and gone. Got children of their own. Men, you're still their daddies. It's never too late. Children, perhaps you're here and you just want to come and kneel. Even adults, you want to come and kneel and say, I just want to thank God for a good father. I knew some of y'all's fathers. Some of them have passed on, but I knew many of y'all's fathers. Good, godly men, you ought to be thankful that a lot of kids don't grow up with that privilege. Ladies, some of you need to come and say, I want to pray for my husband. You don't do that very often. It's easy to complain and nag and tell them what they're doing wrong. But you want to come this morning and pray for them and lift them up before God. That God would make them the husband, the father, that he can only do. Some of you want to come pray for your grandchildren. Ladies, you want to come and say, help me to be the mother. Help me to be the support for that man. And there's all kinds of ways you can take this passage and this message this morning. There are very few of us who are immune. Some of you are saying, I don't have children. You were a child. You had a parent. You had a mother. You had a father. You've got grandchildren. You've got friends. You want to come and pray. Listen, if we don't pray for our young people, we don't pray for our teenagers, our children in this society, I'm going to tell you something. When you get old and you get in a rest home, you're going to be in a wicked place. Because they're growing up in a wicked, wicked world. You want to come and pray for the youth of this church, the children of this church. I couldn't help but sit here a while ago and think. Last Sunday we had 6 of our young people recognized for graduating high school. And I looked up this morning and there's probably 15 or 20 headed out to children's church. And I was like, thank you, Lord, for restocking the pantry. Pray for those children. You're here today and you don't know Christ. You need to come. You're here today and you say, I failed as a father. I hadn't been what I ought to be. But if God will let me live, if God will give me strength, I'm going to straighten it up. I'm going to do my job. I'm going to be an example. Whatever God lays on your heart this morning, as we stand together.
Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Speak that my soul.
Lord, I want to thank you for a good father.
Speak,
I want you to help me to be a good father. Some of you ladies may want to come and thank God for the good man that God's given you, good Christian father for your children.